Welcome to the session on in the 2010-2011 Accessible Technology Webinar Series. My name is Janet Peters, and I am a coordinator at the Great Lakes ADA Center. This Accessible Technology Webinar Series is sponsored by the Great Lakes ADA Center and the Pacific ADA Center, which are both members of the ADA National Network. A few housekeeping items before we begin. There will be time to ask questions at the end of your session, and you can type those in the chat area at the end or at any point during the session. The session has real-time captioning. The CC symbol on the menu bar will allow you to access that in your viewing area, and if you click the icon, you can move the dialogue to where it is resized for your convenience. Today's session is being recorded and will be archived, and you will receive an email with a link to that archive as soon as it's available. Handouts are posted on the ADA audio site where you registered. So with the housekeeping done, let's get started. Today's session is on quick checks for PDF accessibility, and obviously there is a high need and we have a lot of participants wanting this information. Our speaker is Christy Blue, and we're very excited to have her with us today. Christy Blue is an IT accessibility specialist at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. She has 15 years of experience in developing and using internet technologies to deliver information to people and has been working with IT accessibility education for over 8 years. Her trainings include accessibility issues with Word, PowerPoint, and PDFs. Christy currently holds a master's in technology and a certificate in computer science from Eastern Illinois University. And with that, I will turn it over to Christy to get our session started.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate being able to be here. It's listening to the intro. I guess I've used that for a few years. I got to go back and update some numbers there. But as says, I'm currently at the University of Illinois. I'm part of the Urbana-Champaign campus, and really excited to be able to work in the area of web accessibility. Here at the University of Illinois, we really have got a unique opportunity. Our provost actually has set aside funds for a four-person initiative to look directly at web accessibility on the UIUC campus. We are, we believe, one of the only at least public universities where upper administration has devoted funding strictly for that cause. This gives us lots of opportunities, but as well gives us lots of jobs to look at. This past year we have looked a lot at PDF accessibility, PDF files being quite a item that's out there more and more. When we talk about PDF files, really the term coming out is accessible PDF. And for those of you who might work in the state of Illinois, if you work for any of the public universities, in the state of Illinois, we actually now have a law called the Illinois Information Technology Accessibility Act. And this requires that information technology, this includes websites, systems, what they refer to as downloadable documents, so that's where PDF falls into. Anything developed, purchased, provided by the state, it must be accessible to individuals with disabilities. And these standards really define the functional performance criteria and technical requirements that must be met to ensure that this information is accessible. Now, the IITAA grew out of a set of guidelines that existed for several years called the Illinois Web Accessibility Standards. So we do have some set guidelines here in the state. Now, who does that apply to? Although ethically it should apply to everybody, we want to be able to make sure that all of our information is out there. But, of course, it applies to any of our legislative, executive, judicial branches, our governmental branches. We fall under it here because it also covers public universities. Now, right now, it applies only to four-year universities, and although it doesn't apply to community colleges, a lot of the collaboration work that we do, we have a lot of people representing community colleges. We don't know down the line someday that this law might be edited or adapted to the community college environment. Therefore, it gives them a chance to be ahead of the game. As I said, PDF files fall under what's known as downloadable documents. This is kind of like the file. When you click on the link and you get the open or save, those are your downloadable documents. And it's just part of an ever-changing target. When we used to test for accessibility of websites, when there was a link, it was pretty much checking, did the link have a good explanation to it, or was it just like click here or more? Now it's actually clicking on the link, looking at the document that is opening, and evaluating if that document is accessible. So we have this growing target in regards to websites and other communications. So whereas, you know, you may have been, you may have passed all your accessibility requirements a couple of years ago, now the target has increased. So we're going deeper and deeper into websites, looking at all aspects and all things to make sure that they're accessible. Now, it says that 15.1 says a document needs to be natively accessible, or it needs to be provided in a manner that gives the same information optionally. Natively accessible with PDFs, a lot of things come from Microsoft Word. InDesign, there might be flyers, there might be forms, and sadly, most of the native documents or those applications don't work well as far as creating a accessible output. So that's one reason a lot of people go to PDF and do a lot of changes in PDF. We talk a lot about PDF, so just to kind of give a real brief background as far as what is a PDF, this was really came out about 1993, and the idea was in a manner that you could print electronically, kind of instead of printing to your hard copy printer, you could print to the screen an exact replica of what your document looked like. So your fonts matched, your images stayed where they needed to go. One of the key elements was that PDFs, the way that they worked on the backside was they were scalable. So you could magnify a PDF and still maintain a readability with it. Originally, when PDFs were developed, the idea of accessibility was not there. And just making a PDF, taking a document, I'll refer a lot to Microsoft Word because that seems to be where a lot of PDF documents are made from. Just making a Word file and changing it to PDF does not guarantee accessibility. And Microsoft Word is not the only way that we acquire PDF files. A lot of people will take a document, put it on their scanner, and scan it in. Now, scanning software has gotten much better over the years because there was a time that you just scanned it as an image, saved as a PDF, and then went on. The downside to that is really that's all you had was one big image. There was no readable text in that PDF. Luckily, in the testing I've been able to do over the last couple of years, that practice has become less and less. It's still out there. A lot of times you do a save as or convert from another program using some type of an add-in. As well, there is a print to PDF option. Generally, if you install any type of an Adobe product, it will add to your print features, print to PDF. As well, there are several free print to PDF programs out there. And just to make a note, and I'll probably bring it up later as well, print to PDF the resulting PDF will never be accessible because it does not maintain any structural. You get your visual look of your PDF, but your structural elements behind the scenes do not carry through. And then some people just receive a PDF. They have no access to the original document. They may not even be sure what the PDF was originally made in. They just have a PDF. They need to check it to know if it's accessible or not. So that's kind of some background with PDFs. As we work towards what is an accessible PDF, a PDF file does kind of have a structure. Now we just see what we would call the top layer, the visual layer. It's also referred to as a physical layer. This is really what you associate as a PDF file. This would be if you actually went and printed to your a hard copy printer, this is what would come off. But in order to meet accessibility, there needs to be the presence of two other layers. The text layer, which is also refers to content layer, and that is an actual text representation of everything on that visual layer. And then underneath that layer, if you kind of think of transparencies, one laid on top of the other, we have what's called the tags layer. And the tags layer contains structural markup. It's similar to the HTML markup you would use to make a web page. There are some difference in the tags. But the tag layer actually assigns these pieces of code to the different elements in the PDF, so assistive devices such as a screen reader, refreshable braille, items as these can navigate throughout the PDF. Without the tags layer, the PDF would look like one big block of text. Without the tags layer and the text layer, the assistive technology would not be able to read anything. They would get a message either that there was no text found. Some might give for example, if it was a scanned image, they may get a message saying this document contains only an image. So although visually, you know, we can get a lot out of a PDF, for individuals using assistive technology, it really needs to be a lot more robust. So what do we do when we're faced with this pile of PDFs, whether it's one or many, and we know they have to be accessible, but you're not sure where to start? Since this is still a fairly new area and it's pretty thorough, people with knowledge of accessible PDFs are still a little few and far between. So that's one reason this session was developed, was to give you an idea of a few different tips and tricks that you can do that will get you started. You can take your PDF file, you can do a couple of these elements, and then that's going to tell you, I either have some work to do or I don't have some work to do. Generally, 99% of the time, you will have to do some editing on a PDF to meet accessibility. There hasn't come out with a foolproof 100% way yet to get it from one format to the other without having to do some tweaking. There are some tools out there. Matter of fact, if anybody is attending the CSUN conference next week, I'll be doing a presentation where we looked at some of the automatic tools out there and what some of the positive and negatives of those are. But in the end, you have to step up and you're going to have to do manual checking. Again, as they said at the beginning, if you have any questions or comments, you should have a instant messaging box. Feel free to type in your comments or questions there. We are going to have question time at the end, but if something crosses your mind and you want to write it in there before you forget. Okay, a little bit of housekeeping. Now, this presentation was put together based on Acrobat Pro 9. If you're going to be doing any changing of your document as far as getting to be accessible, you're going to have Acrobat Pro. Acrobat Pro 10 has currently come out. The user interface is different. It now represents, looks a lot more like the other Adobe products where everything is in sidebars. But today's sessions are screenshots and things are taken from Acrobat Pro 9. What we have is just some housekeeping. We have what's an tags panel, order panel. These will be two items that you'll use a lot. So these are opened up under the navigation window, view, navigation panels, and then you can open up the tags in the order panel. And I included this slide just because if you're reviewing the slides later on, this kind of gives you a little hint on where to find those. Now, when that panel opens, kind of towards the top left, there's a little icon. It looks like two gears. And that icon is available in all them tabs. If you open that up, there's a choice that says highlight content. Always turn that on because that's going to help you as you choose stuff in those panels, it'll mark in the PDF where you're at. So that kind of helps out as far as a little housekeeping and navigations. Okay, our first test, and one of the biggest is it a text or is it an image? As I said in the past, a bit ago, in the past, a lot of times we put a document on the scanner, we scanned it as an image, we saved it as PDF. That's really one of the options we just had. My position I had prior coming to the University of Illinois, we did a lot of document archiving, and that's exactly what we did. We didn't realize there were other options. Where now scanning software pretty much will ask you things like, is this a document or does this have text? Is it like text and images? So we've seen some changes in the software associated with scanners, as well in the Acrobat program. If you're creating from a scanner, it'll give you those steps of asking what type of document are you working with. Saving as an image to create a PDF, it doesn't create the text. It's just a picture of shapes that just seem to resemble a certain font. So as you think about reading that with an assistive a device or turning it on and maybe doing a control A to try to copy all the text in it, there's going to be no text there. A sidestep, because one of the things that we try to teach is as we do these best practices, they're going to benefit everybody, including people with disabilities. One of the other advantages here is if your PDFs are posted in a place where we're looking at search engine optimization, we're looking at searching for text, when you have that textual layer, web crawlers, search engines, items as such, can find the information in your PDF file, as much as even doing a search on your computer if you have one of those options where it will look through the document for a certain phrase. Very simple test for testing for text versus image. And that's how I've tried to make most of these. They're just real simple. You can go in and look. If you place your cursor in the text area of the document, or what you think is text, your cursor is going to appear one of two ways. Generally, when there is text, a cursor changes to what we call the eye bar. And that's just a cursor that always is associated with a text area. Or if your cursor stays as a plus sign in Adobe, that generally represents that this is an object or a non-text element. So the first thing you do is just put your cursor in there and see how does your cursor change. And as well, try to highlight the text. For a mouse user, hold down your left mouse key and drag across the text. Does it highlight or does it not highlight? If it highlights, you have text there. If it's not highlighting, that's a good sign that you're working with an object. If you want to see the difference of that is if you have an image in your document along with text, try that on the image, and it'll kind of give you that same effect. So that's what I call the cursor test. Very easy, just click in the document, look at your cursor, see how it changes, try to highlight, and that'll give you an answer for text versus image. Immediately, you know, if it is an image, that you have a problem. So some of these tests, you can pull one test and say, oh, we got some problems, let's move on. I'm going to talk about the PDF tags, just because they relate to most everything else in regards to checking. As I explained earlier, PDF tags, they're similar to HTML code you would develop a web page with. They identify different areas of the document. For example, there's tags to mark if something is a header. There's tags to mark if something is a figure or a non-text element. There are tags to mark things as text, tags to mark things as lists, and a lot of more extensive tags if you have table markup. So what this allows a person using assistive technology to do is to easily navigate through the document. And an example I like to use when we're talking about the importance of navigation, especially when we talk about heading structure, is if any of you remember the old Betty Crocker cookbooks. I remember my grandmother had one, and that thing, you know, it looked like it must have had thousands of pages in it. But it was really nice because it had these tabs in it that separated entrees from desserts, from salads, to all these things. And then in front you had an index, and in the back you had an index. So I like to take the example of that cookbook and pull out all the indexes. We're going to get rid of the table of contents, get rid of the index, get rid of those little tabs that stick out the side, and then ask somebody to find me a recipe for apple pie. And what we find is that pretty much a person would have to go page by page, and I'll probably flip them through the page, but they would have to go page by page in order to find that recipe. Whereas if we had that same cookbook with all of the reference items back in it again, they could just very quickly look at those tabs, go down, find, oh, that's the dessert area, flip open, and maybe go a short distance and find that recipe. Okay, I've been asked to announce when advancing the slides. Okay, not a problem. We're currently on slide 14. For those of you who are following. So our PDF tags allow us to build that type of structure. And tagging is exclusively for assistive technology devices, screen readers, refreshable braille, other AT devices such as this. Okay, our next slide talks about the use of tags. So what we have is the best practice here is for an accessible PDF, it must have a tagging structure in it. So how can we quickly tell, is my document tagged or not tagged? Now, you can run the one test I don't have included in this presentation is in Acrobat Pro. There is a accessibility checker. And if your document's not tagged, it will immediately show up in that. The reason I don't touch on that is because I've gotten in the habit, I have like these five little things that I quickly do, and it pretty much saves me more time in the end. So if you go under View, Navigation, Panels, and Tags, as we noted in the housekeeping slide, you're going to get a structure that comes up. Your tags panel is going to open, and it's going to tell you no tags available, or it's going to show some type of a structure of tags. So there's your first question, is my document tagged? Yes or no? And the second part of that is, although a document may be tagged, because some applications, when they convert to PDF, will include certain tags. the question is, are the tags being used correctly? And that's the second test we look at. Sorry, I lost which place I'm supposed to be switching here. So our next slide here is our tagging quick check. So our first question is it tagged or is it not tagged? And then our second one is looking at the structure. So this kind of falls where we were talking about the, again, with the cookbook. If the cookbook is supposed to go meats, entree, or salads, entrees, and desserts, and somebody messed up the table of contents, so you open up the page for desserts, and that's where the meats are, and open up the salads, and that's where the desserts are, it still doesn't seem to work correctly. So by a brief glance, you can look at and see if your tagging structure looks correct. Looking at, does it seem out of order? Does it seem like something isn't fitting? Now, there's some great sessions, some great tutorials on how to fix these items, how to do correct tagging. Fortunately, we don't have time today to really go into that. But by a glance at that tagging panel, you can get an idea of the structure if it's come through or not. A question here, is there a tag structure in a form made using Adobe Live Cycle Designer? Okay, there are tags associated with form elements, and form elements have some additional items that need to be done in order to meet accessibility. So in the tagging structure, I believe in Acrobat X now the tag actually says form or form element. In 9, I cannot remember off the top of my head just how that is marked up. But you should see a tag associated with your form elements. Okay, our next slide, this just talks a little bit about headings, which is pretty much what I explained earlier. You know, a large cookbook with no table of contents, how hard would it be to find the recipe? A lot of people, when they use assistive devices, like to open up, they can open up like a list, show me all the headings on this page, or show me all the links on this page, things like that. So without headings, your documents look like just one big huge paragraph, one big document. So if you think of something like the Wall Street Journal, visually, we can look at the Wall Street Journal, and even though there is a lot of text in that periodical, visually we can tell, okay, there's something, it's a little bigger, bolder, that's a headline, that's separating a section. Adaptive technology, unless you have told it that is a header, cannot make that distinction. So that's why we create our headings. When we create headings, the thing to think about is similar to an outline. Outlines that you did, you know, for papers in grade school and beyond. So you have this main idea, which would be considered a heading 1, and then you have the sub-ideas, which would be heading 2, and then sub-ideas of those would be heading 3s. So there's a hierarchical progress to headings. You wouldn't start out with something that says a heading 3 and then go to a heading 2, then a heading 4, then a heading 1. And that's something that you get used to working with styles, especially if you're creating something in Microsoft Office and bringing it over. Microsoft Word has a great styling structure to use those kind of things. Our next slide. Okay, so our next item, as we kind of look back here, we've had our first check was testing to see if we had a text or an image. And then we looked at, was the document tagged or not? And then very quickly looking at it to see, is it correctly tagged or if it looks like the structure of the tags needs fixed? So there's three quick tests already. Our next test has to deal with text equivalence or alternate text. Of course, a text equivalent, this is a phrase, sentence, explanation, something that goes with a non-text element. So this falls under if you have an image, if you have a graph, clip art, word art, anything that is not an actual text element, because many people may either be non-visual users, they may be using systems where they have visual items turned off. They need to be able to get that same information that would be conveyed by looking at that object. The text equivalent or alternate text, we still see both phrases used. It should describe the image's visual appearance. So this could include instructions on how to take an action. For example, it might be an image of a flow chart. Something as simple as when the phone rings, you know, it either goes to voicemail or a person answers it. So if you have that somehow visually represented in a flow chart, organizational chart, that would be what you'd want to say. A lot of times, especially if you're in an education environment, encourage the instructors or those developing the documents or presentations to do the text equivalents, because they know what is trying to be represented. You may have something as simple as three circles and all three are different colors, and you're not sure, you know, is that supposed to be some kind of a chart or organization? Maybe it's a comparison of contrast of color. Maybe it's actually showing that color is not a good representation. So not if you're not the original author, you may not understand what they're trying to get across with that image. So that's one thing here, especially in our text conversion office, as we get information from instructors, especially presentations that need to be put into a different format for our students, we need to know what the point of that non-text element was. So this is sometimes one of the harder steps, because writing alternate text isn't always fun, but if you can get some help with that from your original author, it's going to be quite an advantage. Now, how do we see in a PDF file if we have that text equivalent or not? And on our next slide, we can very easily pull that up. It kind of shows we have two ways we can look at it. If you have open what's called the touch-up reading panel, and that's something that's open through with your tags and the other options panel, it will highlight content on your page. And there is a screenshot here for those of you who can see the slide. It will show, for example, I think that's a Facebook icon that I might have used in the screenshot. And it's marked up. It says that it's a figure and that no alternate text exists. So you can quickly look at your document, and as in the order setting, things will pop up and it'll say no alternate text. If there was alternate text, it would say it right to the side. It would say figure dash, find us on Facebook. If you're a mouse user, you can right click on that element, and then the submenu that comes up, it does say edit alternate text. The box will pop up and you can type it in. As well, you can open up a properties for that item through the tags panel and enter the alternate text for that. So our best practice there is anything that is a non-text element has got to have some type of text description or alternate text. Okay, our next item is reading order, and I just want to, okay, I've been asked to take a moment. They need to reset the microphones here. So if you have any other questions or comments. Okay. We had some lost audio. Is the audio coming across okay now? Okay, I have an okay from some of the users and the moderators.
Yes, the audio is good. We just needed to reset that. We were having some audio issues, but I can hear you well.
Okay, great. All right, sorry, it gave me a chance. I've been fighting some bronchitis, so it gave me a chance to get a drink there. I just recently finished, even I continue to learn about accessible PDFs, and I just finished this last month some online training. And, of course, it was after I had put this presentation together and submitted it. But in my previous trainings, one of the things I talked about was reading order. And we're on slide number 20 here, if some of you might have lost audio earlier. I'm just talking about reading order. In that navigation panel that we opened, talked about in the housekeeping slide, one of the tags is called order. And what this lists is it highlights the content through your PDF and tells you the reading order per se. So the items, like in the order panel, if it has a number 1 to it, is correlating with a number 1 that's highlighted on the box. What I have learned in my training is, as well, you can change the order in the tags panel. And these are just changed by dragging and dropping the elements in the tree view. And I was told that assistive technology it looks at the tags view over the order view. And there's some additional anomalies with that. Sometimes, depending on how a PDF file is created, if you change the order, the items in the order panel, something might disappear. We had some tables that would do that. So when you're working with order, you want to work in the tags panel. So that's an update that I myself have just learned, and am starting to share that additional information. A question has come through here talking about our tagging with our non-text elements. It says, do you tag a non-text object, for instance, say graph, or do you have to describe all the information that the graph explains? When you have non-text elements such as charts and graphs in your PDF, you're going to look for one of two things. One is an explanation of that graph given in the text. You don't have to do double writing. So if what the graph is representing is talked about in the text, then what you need to do is just have a very simple alternate text to go with that. If it is a graph and no explanation is given about it in the text, then you would need to make sure that the information about it is given in your alternate text. And sometimes you might have a graph and really it's only focusing on a certain part of the graph. So a lot of the graph really is not important to the meaning of it. So you don't want to say things like in your alternate text such as graph and that's all, or just say image, or try to avoid things saying, you know, blue circle with red lines. If in question on how to do an alternate text, the best thing to do is go to somebody, say, okay, I want to describe this image to you. You know, do you have an idea of what I'm trying to say here? And then come up with what you think would be a good explanation for that image and see if the person understands it without seeing that image. So text and charts and graphs are really, really hard ones. But look at, is your text and your document supporting what you're trying to put through with that image as well? Okay, our next slide here. These are great questions coming through, so please keep them coming through. We have plenty of time here. One of the other things you can do with your document is what I call seeing like a screen reader. You can take a PDF document and you can save it as a text file, and when you bring up your Save As menu, using the drop-down box for the different formats, there's one that will say Save As Text, and then parentheses next to it, it says Accessible. So save that document and then open it up and take a look at it and just kind of see if it seems to read correctly or not. One of the reasons this might help you is we had a PDF file come through. We were evaluating. It was a very, very simple PDF file. It was just a couple paragraphs of text. It had a couple form elements on it. It was tagged correctly. All of the tips, tricks, best practices, everything on it was done correctly. We took the form. I went ahead and I sent it to one of my coworkers who was blind, mainly just to kind of have him review the form elements that were on it. And he came in he called me in his office. He says, "There's something really wrong with this document." And so I said, "Well, what is it?" I said, "You know, we have a heading structure, we have tagging structure, everything is correct. What's wrong?" So he did this. He did this save as, saved his text, and opened up the file. And the file to him was reading, after every single word, there was a hard return. So there was like one word on every single line all the way down. So our paragraph of text that we would have expected to read, you know, from beginning to end, he actually had to read it like each word was its own paragraph. Now, we're not sure what the reason for that was. That was one of those PDF files that we had received, not knowing where it had originally started. And, of course, the result of that was just actually having to recreate the whole entire file from scratch and then going back in and making it a PDF file again. So sometimes, even though you think you have it all figured out, there'll be something really odd and strange in there. Okay, I'm enjoying kind of sharing your questions here as they come up. There's a question in regards to artifacts. It says graphic elements such as screens or background pattern should be tagged as artifacts, not to confuse assistive technology. Yes, and a lot of times also when a PDF file is created, there will be, visually it's a blank area, but the PDF file is picking it up as an area. And these are great elements that for sessions that talk about actually how to tag a PDF, which I hope in the future we can have a session about that, which we talk more about how you tag these different items, especially ones that try to sneak away on you. Next comment is using an Acrobat 8 Professional. Tried to use the touch-up reading order panel to edit alternate text, but it's not behaving as the slide suggests. Is there a change in Acrobat 9? I would say that is a good possibility. In Acrobat 7, you start seeing some assistive technology, some accessibility items. In 9, they moved around some of those items, and even in Acrobat 10, it is different. So, as I said, this presentation is based on Acrobat 9, and it's been a while since I used Acrobat 8, but you should be able to look in the help file, or you can even Google how to add that alternate text. If you run the built-in accessibility check or doing a full check. And that is located in different areas in Acrobat 8 and Acrobat 9. It will give you a summary report and will give you instructions on how to add. So if it comes up and says something needs alternate text, it will give you instructions on how to enter that alternate text. Wonderful. Let's see. Dana says you can listen to a PDF. Acrobat Pro offers a read out loud feature. Yes. That actually is one of the other tests that I used to include in here. So if you want to know what a PDF file sounds like, you can go in and activate what they call Read Out Loud. I believe that's under the View menu at the very bottom, and it will kind of read to you top to bottom based on the reading order set up in your PDF. If you really want to check the reading order of a document, there are trial versions of what's known as JAWS, and this is the screen reading tool that a large portion of visually impaired people will use. There's also one with window eyes. Is go in, load in those test versions, and actually listen to how that that tool reads it, because items such as JAWS and other assistive technology are depending on the tag structure, where I believe the read out loud depends on the order panel structure in a document. This is great. Sounds like many of you have some experience with PDFs and working with them. Catherine Swenson has offered a comment with Acrobat 8. Says sometimes you just need to remark your figure or your graph to get your option for alternate text. And that's part of that tagging tagging structure, that process of tagging. Gary says, any suggestions for PDF document creators or editors for ensuring speech recognition user accessibility, aside from screen readers, from heads to body text, more natural? I'm sorry, I read two different ones there. Let's go back to that again. My screen changed. Says, any suggestions for PDF document creators or editors for ensuring speech recognition user accessibility, aside from screen readers who are not the only users of assistive technology? My comment is if you can listen to it with the screen reader, this doing saving it as the accessible text to take a look at the document order are really two good tools. And really, when you have the document open, you can pretty much do a Control A and copy it and paste it like into Notepad. And kind of get an idea with that. Let's see, a comment, when using the read out loud feature, adding punctuation like periods and commas will add pauses to make transitions from heads to body text more natural. Okay, that's true. Your punctuation in a document will help. You don't want to add additional punctuation aside from what would naturally be there. A person, if they're used to using a screen reader, has gotten used to some of the anomalies that a person who isn't using it might hear. For example, here for a long time they've gotten away with it. Now we're supposed to call ourselves Illinois EDU, but we use UIUC for University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And so it kind of reads like UCI to a screen reader. I wouldn't want to go in and go U.I.U.C. just so I can kind of trick that screen reader to go UIUC. And that's something that tip that has come from a lot of developers for assistive technology. Great comments. Question, can screen readers recognize Greek or math symbols? Do we need to tag them in a specific way? There are ways to tag especially math symbols so that they are readable. There are ways to change language, put in language tags, so if something suddenly changes to whether it's a Greek symbol or changes maybe part of it's in Spanish or part of it's in French, that assistive devices will pick up that this is a language change. And then again, the next question refers to formatting numbers so that they're read aloud. A lot of times, just going with making sure that your text is as clean as possible. Most people who use assistive technology pick up on the context of things. So, for example, if you have a zip code in there, you know, if it's, they can tell that there's these five numbers associated in this area of context that's talking about an address versus a series of five numbers that, you know, are just in a regular group of text. So there's a lot of settings that screen reader users can set up. They can really personalize their assistive technologies. So it, you know, for example, an email address, you know, it might tell them a different way that that's an email address. So what you want to do is just create your document, work with your PDF document to get the proper basic tags that are available to you. And then most people who work with assistive technology have adapted their tool to pick up things, such as maybe somebody who works at the University of Illinois has been able to fix theirs, so when it sees UIUC, it reads it UIUC. So there's a lot of options on the other side as well. Okay, a couple more comments have come up here, but I want to go ahead and just talk about the next couple slides here, and then we'll keep talking with some questions because we're almost to the end of the slides. And this here kind of, I'm feeling some of the questions might come up, is items that fall in, I kind of have simple PDF and complex PDF. Simple PDFs are pretty much, you have text, maybe an image or a logo, and you know that's about it. Complex PDFs, these will be ones that might have a data table in it, might have chart in it. PDFs can now include multimedia, so although I do not, I don't really advocate that, but somebody may put multimedia in a PDF, and The bottom line rule for multimedia, no matter where it shows up, is audio has to have a text transcript, video should be captioned. So that's whether it shows up in your PDF, on your web page, wherever it's at, is you need to have it, the transcripts and the captioning. And we're really lucky today to have live captioning with this session. Data tables. Using your tags panel, and then there is a table editor to make sure that your cells are marked correctly if they're heading cells, or if they are, it's a complex data table that has cells that break across two columns or two rows. Most applications do not convert that, when you convert to PDF, does not carry that information over. Or it might carry just very simple, like if it was marked as a table header, the table header stays. But working with data tables, most of that work has to be done in your PDF file. Charts, and this kind of goes back to the comment earlier with graphs, charts are considered non-text elements and should have an associated alternate text with them. So you just kind of treat them as an image. And of course, your alternate text that you would use with that chart is based upon, you know, what information is being presented in the document, so you know where to go with that chart. Okay, I'm going to scroll back a moment here in my chat to make sure I'm not missing anything. A couple of great comments just supporting the fact that, yes, most assistive technology devices, users of assistive technology are able to adapt their device. They're able to configure it. So when you're working with these items, when you go beyond the step of checking and actually move into fixing a document, don't be so tied up with, oh, how is this going to read? Is it going to read UIUC or is it going to read UC? Stick to the basics of it. Tips on tagging tables. There is a table editor function. There are, and that is now in Acrobat 9 when you have open, and I think even in 10, when you have open the touch-up reading tool, when you right-click on that table, you get an option for a table editor. And I'm actually putting together some sessions to work with tables. Question is, or comment, if we do save a file as text and make that text file available with a separate link, does that fulfill accessibility standards? Okay, that actually is, yes, it would, but it's kind of taking the step back. If you remember a long time ago when websites would come out and they would have an icon at the bottom, like best viewed in Internet Explorer or Netscape 3, and you'd go to this really great looking web page, then up at the top left it would say, click here for a text version. That's kind of what that sends you back to. Because you can go in and make changes to a PDF file to make it accessible, that's what you would need to do. Now, what you might look at is look at whatever the original item is that is being created. I mean, you know, is this a form? Is this a document? You know, is PDF actually the most effective output for that? So, you know, maybe your output format would be better as an HTML document. You know, if it's just text with a heading, structure, and image, you know, based upon your situation, it may be better to present that information as an HTML page, which is even more accessible than trying to fight with making a PDF file accessible. So you really want to avoid doing the here's the text only version of this document. If that's the case, then I would say probably a format such as HTML would be the better way to go. Let's see here. Questions about charts, tables, complex data. I usually tell someone to also describe the table or the chart in the text content. Would that be useful in your opinion? Yes, very much so. And in the tables and the charts, there's also in the same area you would go into, like for the table editor, there is a place to put a table summary. So yes, you should always provide as much information using that summary option as well. And using table summary also gives you like another a little bigger spot to where an alternate text might be a shorter description. Your summary of that table is going to help out. Will screen readers recognize superscripts and subscripts? I do not know, and I apologize for not having that answer. If one of our participants knows that answer and would like to type it in, please do. Screen readers, I know, do not generally recognize things such as like bold, italic, these type of formatting features. As far as superscripts and subscripts, it's possible that it could. If you've never heard a screen reader work, a lot of the time the differences and the changes in text are referred to by inflection in the voice. For example, if something is in all caps, the inflection in the voice would be different than something that would be just a general caps and small letters. So I apologize, I don't have that answer, and that also is something that may be different across screen readers. Question regards using null alt text in PDF documents. These are wonderful questions. In a document, if the non-text element really has no meaning, to where, like, for example, in an HTML document, you would use the null alternate text, there is a tag called background, and this is how you would tag that item. Visually, you still see it, but it hides it to assistive technology. As well, using, as somebody noted earlier, the artifact markup will hide those items to screen readers. So, yes, if there's no meaning to the visual element, if it's just like a background item or a logo, but, you know, there's no reason to have that duplicate information, you just tag that up as an artifact or a background, and that will take care of it showing up for assistive technology. When charts are used, do you suggest to use data tables to support charts, such as values and data used at charts in addition to alternate text? I have always taught, whether it's in a PDF file, whether it's in HTML, that a supporting data table along with your chart is an excellent idea. And that goes beyond just for assistive technology. I know for myself, being able to see the data table associated with a chart many times helps me understand the chart much more. I say a lot of these things, that these best practices and checks that we do are benefiting everybody, including people with disability. So yes, I always promote using a data table in conjunction with a chart. Jackie Taylor, would you treat a watermark like an artifact? I'm going to say yes on that. The watermark, I'm not sure if it's a watermark that has been put into the document through PDF, I'm not sure if it's picked up by assistive technology or not. If it's a watermark that somehow has been converted over with the document, yeah, you would just treat that as an artifact or as a background item. Okay, Dana, oh great, I use JAWS. Wonderful. It does not tell the user anything about super or subscripts. Okay, thank you very much, Dana, for offering that information. So as far as superscripts and subscripts, it appears that in JAWS it does not make a distinction. Terry has asked, it looks like the double quote, hide them. I assume putting like the double quote in the alternate text, such as you would do in an HTML document. Generally what happens is it reads that it is an image, and it kind of depends on the screen reader. Now, most of the times it will recognize there's an image, and then for its alternate text it goes quote, quote. So what you'll want to do is, if you want to hide that, you want to tag it as either a background or an artifact, using the double quote in the, or some of you tried doing quote, space, quote. The screen reader will recognize it's an image, and for the alternate text, it'll tell them quote, space, quote. So there's a little, there are some differences in regards to tagging, although they are similar to what you would do like with HTML and for a web page, there are some differences. Okay, I just want to summarize here. These are great questions. Please keep them coming. Just for our session today, what we were looking at is what are some manual checks that you can do if you receive a PDF file and you want to know, is this accessible or is this not accessible? So this would be kind of a first stage to go through. So one, very quick, is it text or is it an image? Is it tagged? And if it is tagged, are those tags used correctly? Do your non-text elements have alternate text? You'll look at a logical reading order, and that is something that is kind of changing, where we're looking at a tags tree. You can look at your logical reading order. Probably one of the best things is listening to it with a screen reader. And then as we have the next one, screen reader view, doing your save as the accessible text. So these are just kind of the to get you started out of the gate. From once you realize you have some things to do, and then it's taking that next step. Okay, now what do I need to do? I need to add tags, or I need to add alternate text, or I need to check my table, or I need to adjust my tags, which those you could create a session for each one of those items. There are lots of tutorials out there, and on my next slide, here are some of the tutorials. The Center on Education and Work at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. They have a lot of tutorials about accessible PDFs. WebAIM out of Utah offers some tutorials as well. And if anybody is familiar with Norm Coombs at EASI, he offers a lot of free sessions and their webinar sessions, and they are done in an accessible environment. Also has some like 4-part sessions. It was just through him that I took a 4-part session from Karen McCall, who's with Carlin Communications, who is probably one of the smartest people I know in regards to accessible PDFs. I'm not saying she's the only one. She's just, at this point of the people I've met in my life dealing with accessible PDFs, she is a real valuable resource. And she offers a 4-part series on making accessible PDFs a couple times a year through Norm's group there. See, a couple extra questions is about adding a link. How Acrobat Reader will read a link that says click here, although there's a full web address behind the hyperlink tag. Okay, what you want to make sure is in your links that you're not linking just the words click here. For example, you'd want to make sure in that grouping, if you're using click here, it might be click here to read more on the article, you know, it has the article's name, or read more information about how to tag a PDF. Although the full web address is behind the hyperlink tag, that text that you are marking up as your tag, you want to make sure is unique. Otherwise, if somebody opens up on their screen a dialog box that says, show me a list of all the links, they may have 25 links there and they all say, click here. Or they all say for more information. So you want to make sure that anything that you mark up as a link, you're using a unique text there. Now, you mentioned Acrobat Reader in that comment, and that's one thing. If you are checking for accessibility, now Acrobat Reader does have, in Acrobat Reader 9 and 10, it does have an option. It's called a quick check for accessibility, but pretty much what it will tell you is if your document is tagged or not. It will tell you whether the document is a scanned image or if it has text in it. And that is pretty much all it will tell you. Anything else, it will pass. It says the presentation I'm getting ready to do, Acrobat Reader was one of the tools we tested, and we tested it on documents that were accessible, documents that were not accessible. We tried to trick it, and every time it said, oh yeah, this document's fine, this document's fine, this document's fine. So if you're really going to be working with PDFs to make them accessible, you have got to purchase the Acrobat Professional 9 or 10. I think 10 is the one that's out now, but I know a lot of people use 9 still, which is fine. Okay, if you have any questions or comments, I'm always willing to answer them as I can. As well, if I don't have an answer, I will do my best to forward you to somebody who can answer that. So I'm here at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and my email address is on the slide, but I will go ahead and type it into the chat box as well. It's CLBLEW@illinois.edu. As I said, always, you know, feel free. If I don't have the answer, I will try to point you in a direction.
Thank you.
That's
the
way we do.
This was an excellent session. I want to give everyone an opportunity to get any final questions in with Christy by typing them in the chat area. Are there any final questions? If there are questions that come up after the session, you can certainly email Christy, and that was very generous of her to give her email. You can also call us at the regional ADA centers, and the 800 number is 1-800-949-4232, and we will certainly field your calls in this area and questions in this area as well. I want to thank Christy for her excellent sharing of information today. It was really very helpful for those of us who work with PDFs. This session was recorded and the archive will be available, and you will receive an email with that information, as well as we will be asking for your feedback and comments in an evaluation. Please take the time to fill out the evaluation. We do value your feedback and try to improve the sessions with comments from you. Our next session in the Accessible Technology webinar series is on May 10th, and it is how a firm can differentiate themselves by hiring technologists with disabilities, and I believe it will be a very good session. And with that concludes our session. Thank you.